Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Welcome back to the Six Rings Postgame Show, everybody. In case you missed it, what a comeback it was for Jacoby Brissett off the bench. Fourth quarter, last minute drive. I'm watching him roll. Oh, man, that run when he took off from the 38 and made it all the way down to the 43. Look at those wheels. Holy smokes. Is that Carl Lewis or Jacoby Brissett? Then again, in third and 10. Oh, man, what a nice throw. Look at that throw to Boutte. And here to tell us what it was like in the stadium as well as in the locker room, my pal and yours, often a frequent broadcast partner of mine here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, the one and only Miss Megan Ottolini. Mego, did you see this one coming?
I really didn't. I think in our pop, lock, and drop portion of our pregame show, I had to admit that I had them as the lock to lose. Mm-hmm. I really thought that we were going to get more of the Jets that the Patriots saw in that horrible Thursday night game earlier this season with the addition of Devontae Adams. And the way that this team was all week in the locker room with these individualized, almost like selfish style comments, and they're all over the place and they're getting called soft. I did not see this one coming, but it's a great win for them.
What did you think of Jacoby Brissett's swagger post game, where there were a couple not-so-veiled shots at the media, one saying, you know, winning's hard in the NFL. I know you don't think that. And it was a testament to me believing in myself and not you all. How'd you take those comments?
I try not to take them personally. I don't. It sure sounds like he's not enjoying the New England media recently. Mm. But look, what are we supposed to write? What are we supposed to say when the team's not performing well? And I thought that Jacoby was doing pretty well for the first 2 weeks of the season, and then the wheels really came off. So you can only write and say what you see. He gets all the credit for going in there and winning this game. So if he's going to have, like, swagger about him, and if he's going to have a little bit of I told you so, or you guys didn't expect this, today is the day to have it. I don't know if there's going to be a lot more moments like this for the entire team. So
you're a hater. You're a hater.
No, she's a fan.
A
he was a quarterback of her Commanders last year as well. She's a member of the Jacoby Brissett Appreciation Society.
Briefly.
It's a very small club,
briefly,
by the way.
I honestly thought it was going to go a lot more like the second quarter after Drake went out. And to be fair, I spent a lot of that quarter with eyes just on the stairs down to the locker room, seeing if he was going to come back out, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm very impressed with Jacoby Brissett. He gets all the credit in the world.
Megan Ottolini, the great Mego, joins us here on the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI. Mego, I was just watching those highlights on NFL Network right here, and when Aaron Rodgers zipped that pass to the 50, but of course his coach, who is just brutal clock mismanagement and just burning all those timeouts, not leaving them anything for a potential game-time drive. When the ball went to the 50 and Rodgers gave up trying to make it to the line to spike the ball for 1 second left, or one of his patented Hail Marys, the Patriots rushed the field like this was Tennessee beating Alabama. Now, I'm not saying anyone was ripping down a goalpost to carry down Route 1 to, you know, a bar to go partying afterwards, but there seemed to be legitimate excitement on the field. Did that carry through into the locker room, and were you greeted by a locker room that seemed vastly different from the ones that you've encountered midweek and also postgame recently?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, definitely. I mean, they were like hooting and hollering in that locker room on the way down. And yeah, everybody was definitely in a celebratory mood. I talked to a couple guys about Drake and if anybody had talked to him postgame as he's going through concussion protocol. Obviously, that's, you know, a little bit of a bummer of a sidebar, and hopefully not anything that he can't bounce back from quickly and in a healthy way. But overall, the locker room was really different. I think it was a different kind of win also, because a couple guys said to me they felt like this was really, really a team effort, that especially on offense, they found momentum in the second half, and they were able to just build off that and build off each other. And I think it's something that the team has really been missing for this entire season. It's hard to find momentum from game to game. They also haven't found a lot of momentum in games. They've had great plays, but they almost feel like their individualized plays. You know, Kayshawn Booty gets a big touchdown. DeMario Douglas gets his first touchdown. Drake May has an exciting play. But none of it really threads together to be competitive in the game. And today they were obviously competitive. They won. And, yeah, the team on the other side is in shambles, but it still matters that you got this win.
And it matters because we thought this Patriots team was in shambles. And a week ago, we had the Gerard Mayo soft comments and then the walk back and that whole narrative. Today, the word that was being thrown around was resiliency. We've already seen J.J. Watt praise Gerard Mayo because he had questioned the soft comment and now praised him for his team sort of having his back. Were there any comments? Did guys talk about sort of the reaction to those comments? Did that play a role in the resiliency, how they maybe were challenged by their head coach over the last week or so?
I don't think so. That was definitely a topic of conversation earlier in the week, but it feels like we've talked to everybody in that locker room so much about how the soft comments played and the difference between being called soft and saying that you're playing soft and blah, 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 blah. So at this point, I think it was just like them looking at each other and being like, wow, okay, we did this together as a team. It's not just one guy had a huge day. It's everybody had a little piece, whether it was the tight ends, whether it was Ramondre Stevenson, whether honestly it was Drake May giving them a really strong start and being the rushing leader in that game up until the final minute and a half. When it came to the Patriots, he was just under what Breece Hall was doing for a while on the other side, but he was still the rushing leader going into the last minute and a half before Ramondre Stevenson picked up a couple more yards on that touchdown run. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where everybody gets a little credit, and that has to feel good because it feels like they did that together.
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson on the day Mago finishes, 20 carries, 48 yards. You're not going to extend a lot of contracts or hang a lot of hats on a 2.4 yards per carry average, but he did get the two touchdowns as well on my fantasy bench. Drake May, three scoots for 46 yards. Do we know, by the way, real quick, two questions here. Number one, do we know, was that a diagnosed concussion, or did he just, like, did they hold him out for precaution and just say he's in protocol, you know, parentheticals head? Do we know?
It was very unclear. Okay. So Gerard Mayo said that he talked to Drake at halftime, and Drake wanted to go back in, and he said he had to go through the NFL protocol. So they haven't said that, they haven't come out and said concussion or he has a concussion or anything like that, but they did have the official rule of he was questionable, then he was out with a head injury. So I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of was talking to people in the press box immediately after that hit happened and said, like, does he look right to you? I'm not a concussion spotter, but that was a really hard hit in the moment that we saw, and then on tape it looks even worse. So I wouldn't be surprised if he remains in protocol this whole week.
And to both of you, as we continue to look toward who can be a part of the future, you know, we know Drake May can sling it. He can play. We got Christian Gonzalez. Hopefully Christian Barmore comes back and he's healthy. We got a couple pieces now. We're slowly trying to build eventually, you guys, towards the best 53 possible in the Drake May era under Coach Gerard Mayo. Do we think maybe Kayshawn Boutte could be a part of that? I'll go to you first, Mego.
I think he could. Kayshawn's interesting because I know that his comments about asking for the ball got a lot of play in a negative light, along with the other wide receivers who didn't have a stellar day overall.
You don't say.
A lot of drops, but Kayshawn is somebody who got praise from Alex Van Pelt earlier this week because he really started changing his work ethic, and I talked to him about that at his locker a couple days ago, and he said that it really bothered him the way that his rookie season went, that being benched essentially the entire season, he just didn't want to go through that again. And so, as simple as it might sound, he started showing up earlier, staying later, being in the training room, you know, doing all the things that an NFL, at a professional level football player has to do, but maybe isn't always clear that it takes that much time, that much work when you're a rookie. Maybe it should be, but that's the big change he's made. And I think it's we talk about the maturity of this locker room a lot. I think he's somebody who I wouldn't hold him just to a comment that he made about asking for the ball. I think it seems like he's gotten a lot of respect for going in there day in and day out and trying to change his career.
And Andy, I heard you yell Ladd during Mego's response because my guy, Ladd McConkey, who they could have had at 32. Oh, that was you, Joe Braverman. That was you in my ear. I thought that was Andy yelling it out. Okay, my apologies. Ladd McConkey just scored a 60-yard touchdown, and we all know how much I fan-crushed on having him around, but we don't have him. We have Jalen Polk, of course, who was out today in concussion protocol. Andy, do you echo Mego's sentiments about Kayshon Booty? Now we can go back to that positive tweet from Evan Lazar earlier this week saying this his turnaround and potential redemption should be the story players should look towards. Do you think he's part of the solution, not the problem going forward, Andy?
I think we're going to find out. I'm not willing to say one way or the other. I know there's been some strong praise from teammates for what Mego was just talking about in terms of being more professional, changing his work ethic and things of that nature. And I give him that opportunity. Now, he sucked today until the game was on the line. Like, he couldn't catch the football. So I think a lot of those, and those guys are all in challenging spots. I know we fixate on the quarterback position for most offenses and with, you know, offensive line and play calling, but the wide receivers are even a step further away, and if the play calling stinks and the line stinks and the quarterback play is questionable, it's hard for them to do their jobs. And I'm not just going to give them a free pass for, I think, saying some dumb stuff and taking some things public that don't need to be, but they've been in a tough spot for the last couple years. The second half of this season, assuming Drake May is healthy, is going to offer opportunities in the passing game, I think, for all of those guys to maybe differentiate themselves and say, I want to be in the group of three that's kept, because I don't think everybody's going to be back. I want to be one of the handful that's kept. Pop Douglas, you probably are in that group, but I would do more work. Booty, I think you have the shot to be in that group. So I like that. The one thing I wanted to touch on here, Mego, was I almost feel bad in a way for Hunter Henry, because he's a guy that I think if he was in a real Patriots offense, one of the better Patriots offense of days gone, would be beloved, because the guy is doing great work right now on an offense where I don't know if you can say that about anybody over the totality of the season. Hunter Henry's been a go-to guy for Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. And I know he made some comments I saw on Twitter about, you know, sort of his legacy and what he wants to be remembered for. I'm going to remember him as a damn good football player. I don't know about you.
Yeah, Hunter Henry is somebody who I would describe as he's just been a very consistent player. When his usage is high, it usually means good things for the offense. Yep. And even if you remember back to the 2021 offense, Josh McDaniels' last offense here with Mac Jones, Hunter Henry was a weapon in the red zone in that offense. He was very, very productive. And I've kind of been waiting. These offenses have been varying levels of functional or dysfunctional. So I've kind of been waiting to see that version of him again. You know, he's had spots here and there. He had a half in the Seattle game where he was very productive. He's somebody who, again, Alex Van Pelt described as a security blanket for Drake May, the kind of guy that you can go to and depend on. And you need those guys in any offense. I agree with you. He is a little bit maybe underappreciated because there hasn't been so much to appreciate with this Patriots offense recently. I think that there should be brighter spots ahead for him when the passing game continues to get going.
All right, Mego, love having you on the postgame show. Thanks for bringing some fresh stadium and locker room perspective. Look forward to chatting with you tomorrow night on our 6 to 7:30 Monday WEEI evening program. Give her a follow at Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N underscore Adelini. Enjoy your evening and whatever beverages follow, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're the best. Mego joining Fitzy and Hart here with a fabulous little spot on the Six Rings postgame show. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, we will get into some of Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. I do want to play a little keep or kill, or rather going off of the Kayshon Booty redemption. Who else we think may be starting to make a mark or earn their way onto this team? Plus, we'll hear from you guys as you're on your way home from the stadium. But first, you guys get to hear from the award-winning Joe Braverman with his trending sports news.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
No soft and set Gillette today. The Patriots came back and they defeated the Jets 25-22. Your final score. Braylon Allen rushed in with 3 minutes left to give New York the lead. But Jacoby Brissett, who came in to replace Drake May, who left in the second quarter with a head injury, led the game-winning drive that culminated with a Ramondre Stevenson touchdown run. Jacoby Brissett finished 15 of 24 for about $120. The Pats move now to 2-6. They snap their six-game losing streak and will now travel to Nashville to face the struggling Tennessee Titans next Sunday. Some other scores in the NFL for Week 8. The Browns pulled off the upset over the Ravens 29-24. The Lions destroyed the Titans, aforementioned, 52-14. Cardinals got a last-second field goal from old friend Chad Ryland again, 28-27. And the Packers just squeaked by the Jaguars, 30-27. Some other games that are currently going on right now. The Chiefs lead the Raiders 17-13. Broncos on top of the Panthers, 21-7. And the Bills, who are currently solo in first place, lead over the Seahawks, 24-3. The Sunday slate of games wraps up in the NFL with the Cowboys taking on the 49ers. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM, beginning at 7:30, following Six Rings. Celtics and Bruins both have the day off. After winning their games last night, the Seas will return home to face the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night, and the Bees will welcome the Flyers to TD Garden on Tuesday. Brad Marchand, speaking of in his postgame last night, denied the report from Elliott Friedman that Marchand and the team have agreed to a new contract extension. And ESPN's Carl Ravitch tweeted that he spoke to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, and he said that Ohtani is in, quote, a great spot after leaving Game 2 of the World Series with a shoulder injury, and that, quote, he will be playing in Game 3 tomorrow from Yankee Stadium. So expect Shohei Ohtani in that Dodgers lineup. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Three good weeks of practice, it finally culminates to a win here at home. Before the game, Duggar couldn't make it. So where are those three safeties? Where are those three safeties? Here we go. Another thing. Last game ball right here. Again, no matter what position we're talking about, we got to have that next man up mentality. Cole, where you at? Step in.
Listen to how happy that Patriots locker room was, period. I'm just going to leave it at that, first and foremost. That was a happy Patriots locker room, something that's rare these days indeed. But listen to how happy they were for all the backup safeties that had to step in and play today. And dare I say, played their asses off. Did they have the cleanest sheet in the world? Nope. Did the Jets move the ball a little bit? They sure did. But they played their butts off. And, of course, a game ball for Jacoby Brissett as well. Good to hear them playing together. Good to hear them happy. They deserve that. And yet the result was almost as ugly as that new Dwayne Wade statue that they unveiled in Miami. Holy smokes, was that bad. You guys should definitely go to Twitter and check that one out. Here's a quick stat for you, Andy, before we go back to the phones. This from old ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rich Cimini. This is crazy. The Jets had zero turnovers, held the Patriots to 247 yards, and still lost. They're the first team to lose a game. And this, by the way, editor's note, this is a season where the Patriots have been the ones that have been setting all of these crazy, anomalous statistical records. Now it's the Jets' turn to do so. Anyway, the Jets are the first team to lose a game in which they did not turn the ball over and held their opponent under 250 yards since week 3 of 2012. In 2012, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lost 14-12 to the Seahawks in the Fail Mary game, which they should not have lost. Since that game, teams to do that had been 220-0 up until today. That's how rare, how anomalous, how freakish today's win for the Patriots was, Andy.
Yes, and that's, I think, what we've kind of been tiptoeing through is, two bad teams played football. You kind of had a bad game in some ways, and somebody had to win. And it was good for them because guess what? They didn't win the two bad teams play football in a bad football game opportunity at Gillette Stadium when the Dolphins were in town. So,
see,
you know,
they shouldn't be just 2-6. You're right. They should be 3-5 or 4-4.
They've had opportunities, but they probably should be what their record says they are because they're a bad football team. You know one name we haven't mentioned yet, and I know we'll get into him a little bit later, because he was kind of a lot like this win.
Who's that?
Mixed feelings. Marcus Jones, because he struggled a little bit covering Garrett Wilson, which...
It's a tough cover right there. Tough task.
because I don't actually think Marcus Jones is all that good a corner, and I do think Garrett Wilson is all that good a wide receiver. So that's a tough matchup for him with Christian Gonzalez going to the Davante Adams route. But that punt return, and he knows a little something about punt returns against the Jets that are
sure
impacting
does.
Wins. That's probably the biggest reason you won this football game in my mind. That punt return jump-started the ability to win this football game. So we know when Marcus Jones has the ball in his hands, he might be the most dangerous Patriot.
Could still. Very well be. Do we see if they could put him back on offense, or would that be too much to ask of AVP?
That probably seems too much to ask of AVP. He tends to go in the other direction, certainly early in this game, where we're going to go jumbo package, unbalanced line.
Zagmaster.
Run it, yeah.
Hey, the Bills-Seahawks game is a close one. That's 31-3.
Just real quick on AVP as well. Did you guys notice the most creative play that's ever been unleashed in his playbook?
The flea flicker tight end screen.
Exactly.
No one saw that one coming. Nobody saw that one coming.
And
folks,
that's AVP's definition of creative.
I thought you were going to reference he and Gerard Mayo doing that weird whatever the hell they were doing to celebrate on the sideline.
Oh, that's on like kicks. Even par with the play.
Yeah, that's that was awkward.
I just watched the Carolina Panthers try to execute a fake punt where the punter, it was Johnny Hecker, the legend of Johnny Hecker, Belichick man crush Johnny Hecker. He took it, turned to his left, threw a pass to a wide open receiver in the flat that he missed by 10 yards.
Really?
Yeah, that was not good.
Wow.
Yeah, you thought the flea flicker wide receiver screen was something. The old Hecker heave-ho, Braverman, that was something else. All right, let's go back to the phones, Andy. Mark and Deb, they left the stadium. They're on their way home. They're listening to Six Rings. Hello, guys.
Hey, Fitzy.
Hi, how are you?
What's going on, Fitz?
What's up, guys?
That we're doing. You know, we want to talk about how terrible these officials are. I mean, they clearly, Drake May gets popped in the head while he's going down. Where's the call on that? And then the pass interference call, I mean, there was no pass interference from, what was it, Gonzo, I think it was?
Yep.
There was no pass interference on that. And then the other one was Hunter Henry. There was clearly no holding at all on the line where he goes for 30, 40 yards. I mean, these officials are just getting terrible, just more and more terrible every year, it seems like, Fitzy.
Yeah, you know, you have the perfect person on the line in my co-host, Andy Hart. He's the biggest fans of officials in general, let alone the modern world of NFL officiating. Right, Andy?
Been saying it for years. They stink. They're not biased. They're not fixing games. They just simply stink.
I'll give Jacoby Brissett, though, his props today. I've been negative on him all year. But you know what? I'm going to give him his props and say, you know what? He went out there, put his big boy panties on, and he got the win. I'll give him that.
He did. How was the and thank you, Mark and Deb. We appreciate that. I think he meant to say pants. I don't think he really meant to say panties.
Doesn't
panties get in a bunch. You put your big boy pants on.
Anybody can put, if he wants
and
to put big
it's
boy
a,
panties on,
it's
put
a brand,
on.
It's a brand, it's a brave new right. world, Andy, right? You can put on whatever you want, right?
Absolutely.
Well,
if they're
he did,
comfortable,
he
I'll put, take them.
He put on some grown-up slacks, and he got the job done. How about that?
Yes, and I think we can all agree that now that doesn't say anything about his past performances.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't even say anything about future performances if he needs to make them. Just for the here and for the now, he came in, they got a win, that's good. In most senses of the word, other than the fact that, as you just mentioned, the Carolina Panthers are probably now in the driver's seat toward the number one overall.
That is pole position, and I'll tell you what, if it doesn't matter who they would end up going with, like Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers or anybody, you are a Carolina Panther. Unless they feel like they need to try to do, if somebody emerges as a clear-cut, like it's Jalen Milroe, we'll say, as a clear-cut Heisman favorite, though I doubt they'd want to go back to the Alabama well. After the Bryce Young debacle, maybe they'll want to execute a trade so they can try to, you know, restock the pantry after trading away far too many picks for Bryce Young.
Well, there's also a late or early, I don't know how you look at it, late in terms of coming into the season, but early for the draft season.
Sure.
Is it Neuhauser, the LSU quarterback?
Neuhauser.
I believe it, yeah. Garrett,
sounds like the name of somebody's
door.
Oh, Nussmeier, yes.
Yeah. There are people that are putting him potentially on the top of the QB prospect list.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. But you're right. I think the Panthers are going to have a decision to make. They've done the QB decision. Mm-hmm. Are they going to try the other route that everybody always talks about? Now, I wouldn't, because we've talked a lot about it between the top three picks this year. If you get the quarterback, that's all that matters. And if you think one of these guys is the quarterback, you got to go get him. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe there's just a group of meh quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a group of meh quarterbacks and you can maximize the pick in a different way, you should probably do that.
Does 2,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks, does that just reek of first overall pick to you?
No. And I haven't watched a ton of him to really get a feel for him. I don't love the quarterbacks in this draft. I don't love Shedeur Sanders.
Nope.
More for his makeup, I guess, and things I've heard about him.
He's hyper-athletic, although Colorado is kind of putting together a potential college football playoff-worthy season.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they have two top five picks on the roster, shouldn't they?
They kind of should, even though their coach kind of like every time he takes one step forward, he takes three massive steps back.
But no, I don't love any of the quarterbacks. I don't think there's any as good as the top two or three from last year's class. And there's going to be decisions that are made. And we know the Patriots don't have to make those decisions. They can sit back, wait, and take BPA, best player available.
Just turn on Yahoo Auto Draft and get her done. Hey, let's go to the South Shore. Tom is in Hull. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Chrissy, how you doing, buddy?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I just got to say, for Aaron Rodgers, Fitzy, when you were just doing the bit and out, you can't stand Aaron Rodgers. You can't stand him. And that victory today against the Jets, it made my whole year. Like, and I'm a huge fan. And, every other W this year is a bonus for me, because all I want to do is beat the Jets today and beat Aaron Rodgers, who is a complete a-hole. There's no doubt about it. And Jacoby, I give him props. I didn't think he should start the season. I thought we should go with the kid, but Jacoby came in. What a great job he did! I give him all the props. That throw that he made at the end when his receiver Booty or whoever it was finally made a catch for the guy. I mean, how many drops can you have with a receiver? Someone's got to get in that receiver's meeting. Mayo's got to get in there and say, boys, come on, stop your talking with the media and going on social media and all that. Can't catch the friggin' ball. That's what he's got to say to these guys. But, I'm so happy that we beat the Jets. I can't stand the Jets. Love you, Fitzy. I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate you very much, Tom. Thanks for calling into the postgame show. See, Andy, before last week's game, we had sort of postured the Jacksonville game as, well, their secondary is so bad on the international stage in front of fans from all over the world, 90,000 strong at Wembley. If they were going to win one more game this season, let it be this game so you can just get a full Drake May symposium and showcase. That way, when people talk about coming to the Patriots next season, they've got this tape they can unfurl and go, look at what we got over here, guys. Hey, receivers. Hey, tight ends. Hey, offensive linemen. Hey, everybody. Don't you guys want to come and be a part of this? Don't you want to come be a part of Drake May Day here in Foxborough? Well, he still looks good in the process. The rest of the team, not so much. This week, he gets knocked out. But something else that could potentially be attractive to draft picks, free agents, etc., would be, hey, you know what? We played the Jets, even though the Jets aren't very good. That's not our fault. We lost our quarterback. We started a bunch of scrubs and secondary guys all over the defense. We've signed a couple dudes this week. We have a makeshift offensive line, and the coach and everyone else on the executive and coaching staff was under fire all week. And, hey, guess what we did? We never gave up, and we snuck out a win. Do you think today could possibly be not a full calling card, but maybe just a nice little note on the Patriots' LinkedIn page?
Yeah, I mean, mostly for Jerod Mayo, in my opinion. This is about Mayo and being in the crosshairs of criticism for last week from a lot of people. Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt, Bill Belichick. We know everybody was critiquing the way Jerod Mayo handled himself and what he said. And for his team to come out and show some resiliency and play that way and finish a game, whatever. They're not that talented. They're going to be in ugly games. It's not going to be pretty. And get the win. I think you could look back at this. If there's a long-term takeaway from this game, there's a positive one in that it's Jerod Mayo. This may be Jerod Mayo's team, and maybe last week was a culture shift and learning moment for everybody, and maybe he put his big boy panties on, as our caller said, and he's going to move forward with that. And then there's also the long-term negative of, you won a football game, you cost yourself a draft slot, who knows. But, yeah, we'll see, because momentum, is not a singular day, is not a singular event. Just like a line can't be created with a single point. You need at least 2 points to create that line. You need at least a couple weeks to create momentum for Gerard Mayo. But better to have people praising him than making fun of him and mocking him the way they were last week.
You're listening to the Six Rings Postgame Show, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends at McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVA services. You can find all that and more at McFarlaneEnergy.com. One more call, Andy, before we go to the break. And when we come back, we'll get to the thumbs up and thumbs down of it all. But here, first, is Frank up in New Hampshire. What's up, Frank?
What's up, guys? Great show. So listen, I'm from Lynn, Mass, but I work in New Hampshire at the 99, where we
nice.
Use the
always the real deal.
Always the real deal, baby. I had a prime rib today. It was dope. We're watching the game. We're super excited. First thing first, I hope Drake May's good. God bless him. Jacoby went in there. He did his job. I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the most overrated player in the league. We had a great victory. Good for them, man. You know what? He went up there. He said they were soft. They came up today, and they played hard for him. And I think he did a good job. And you know what? You said go check out that Dwayne Wade statue. I saw that, bro. It looked like a horror movie. What are they thinking over there in Miami? Come on, guys. That's Dwayne Wade. And how Dwayne Wade got a statue and Tom Brady got no statue? What's going on here, people? Love the show. Go Pats. I'm pumped, man. Love you guys. Peace.
No, you know what it looked
call
like
of the
is
day.
A
call
State
of the
Farm
day.
Commercial. Just like Ryan Fitzpatrick's State Farm commercial.
What is this?
I know who it is. The character actor, I'm not sure if he's still with us, Delroy Lindo, was in like a bazillion movies.
Never heard of him.
Looked like Andy, growing up, you probably watched Channel 56 when Sanford and Son was on. It looked like Fred Sanford's best friend, Grady. It doesn't look like Dwayne Wade. It looks like Grady from Sanford and Son. It's
Are there not
so
enough
bad.
Statue artists around anymore? Like, is that a lost art?
Does anyone want to shave maybe half that super chin that they gave the poor guy? My gosh.
Now it has That's me so worried bad. For the Tom Brady statue.
He is. Delroy Lindo is still with us. Good. Okay. Excellent actor. No, you're right. Now I'm anxious about the Tom Brady statue.
Because Tom Brady could be screwed up. Remember Skeletor from the court hearings when the...
Zom Brady?
That was bad. And if
Those were
that,
epic.
Although I will say Brady now looks more like that than...
He looks more like Zom Brady.
Like
I know. Yeah. What game is he calling right today? Is anyone crying about Brady's call today?
No.
He's not being... Interesting enough. He's not being analytical enough.
I know. He's not good.
No. Must be nice to not be good at something and get $37.5 million for it.
I'd love
to. I believe he's doing the Seahawks and the Bills.
Oof.
And it's
really?
Not a fun game to broadcast.
Oh, man.
Well, it was fun in one sense. Did you see the fight between the two Seahawks defensive linemen that was then broken up by two Bills offensive linemen?
What are you doing if you're Buffalo? Let him keep
Just
going.
Let him fight. If they start swinging, that's a win for you. But at least they're
no
nice
kidding.
Men.
Ooh,
they
nice touchdown run service. For DeAndre Swift. The Bears are coming around nicely. They look like a good football team. They should look like this. They should be a good football team.
They have talent.
They don't have the best coach in the world, but they got talent. That's for sure. That was a 40-yard touchdown run for
That's
Swift
why I believe
right there.
Talent is the most important thing in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm torn after victory, because the best way to get talent is pick higher in every round of the draft.
You know, I checked out a mock draft from, I don't know, oh, it's on MSN. Okay, and they had.
Oh,
the
that's where I go for my mock drafts. MSN.
There's not a lot of them out there yet. Thank God. Don't worry.
MSN?
We'll have month at Microsoft News.
That still has a thing.
It's still a thing. You know who's also around? Yahoo. Also, all those sites, Andy.
Barely.
They have the Patriots trading out of the top overall pick, which we now both believe is going to go to Carolina. They have them trying to stockpile picks and getting McMillan, the wide receiver, out of Arizona.
That's fine. I mean,
as long as you give me a tackle in round two.
Yeah, didn't we have that theory last year? That didn't work out very well.
No,
they didn't take
didn't.
A tackle round two. And
said you got a wide receiver with hands of stone. Was not
one?
There today.
Only one of them?
Hands.
No. Multiple wide receivers with hands of stone.
That's who we took at 37. We didn't take other receivers at 37.
No, Booty was taken much later last year, and he has hands of stone.
Well, he also made some good plays today.
Kendrick Bourne was undrafted like 7 years ago, and he has hands of stone.
Oh, speaking of which, Kendrick Bourne, let's see, at BournePolly11 tweeted just over an hour ago, I'm a play better, N-E, exclamation point. Well, this will lead to an interesting debate Andy and I are going to have when we do the thumbs up, thumbs down, and more when we come back. trade or no trade? Let's get into, do you possibly see more Patriots being traded away or less now? I doubt that they're going to keep them all to make a Super Bowl run. But we'll get into that when we come back. Just a couple minutes, folks. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show brought to you by McFarland Energy. Heard only right here on WEEI.
No team first, but you didn't like being benched. It's just no one does.
Yeah.
How does this feel for you personally to have a little bit of a redemption story here today and lead the team down the field?
I look at it as no redemption. I think this is a testament to me believing in myself and not y'all. And I'm very aware of that. And I was very fortunate that, to have this opportunity and to go out there and get a win, with our guys. It was sweet. You can't put it into words, but I'm not trying to be arrogant or nothing, but I'm very proud of myself today.
There's nothing wrong with taking pride in your accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with taking pride in your accomplishments, especially when expectations were as low as they were or didn't flat out exist at all. Nobody toiled, languished, suffered, and gave it all for very little more than Jacoby Brissett did over the first month plus, not to mention an offseason of scrutiny, questions, and confusion. And today, when it mattered most, he stepped up and delivered some great passes, ran his ass off, and got the Patriots the win. So I'm glad he expects more of that. I'm glad he expects more of himself. He should take pride in this. I certainly wasn't expecting that. It was great to see, and I think that's part of what adds to the joy of the Patriots come from behind win today against the Jetropolitans. Plus, if I haven't said this enough yet, the Yankees lost the first two games of the World Series, and the Jets lost. Best Boston sports weekend ever. All right, Andy, let's get to the thumbs up and thumbs down of the day. Who made Uncle Andy's list of the players?
Yankees lose.
It's actually kind of sad how excited you are that the Yankees are down 2-0 and the Jets lost. Remember when we used to celebrate victories, not other teams' losses?
I'll blow it out your blank. I'm just having fun.
Andy, I don't know about you, but I continue to do that. I did that back then. I'll still do it right now.
You know what? That's part of rivalry. The same way you should have seen some of the things people were saying about me the other night on Twitter just because I was excited about Freddie Freeman's epic walk-off game one grand slam. Also, by the way, hit at the exact same time. I think it was 11:33 or 11:37. The same exact moment Kirk Gibson's home run was hit back 36 years ago.
How about Freddie Freeman had the line of the day when he said, "I played the whole game," which was a good line.
But then afterwards, he got emotional when he thanked his dad for batting practice and said, "This isn't me. This is for my dad," which was pretty epic. By the way, I do have to finish that story from earlier. Long story short, the caller from Westchester.
Jesus, this was the longest.
It's only a two-hour payoff. I got interrupted by Coach Mayo. The guy called in from Westchester and said, "Do you think it mattered what the Red Sox went through? Lost his grandmother right before they won the 2004 World Series, so his grandfather went to her grave after the Red Sox completed the comeback." And then ultimately defeated the Cardinals in the World Series and went and laid flowers on his grandmother's grave and said, "We did it. They finally did it. They won the World Series." Just like one of those things where it's like, how do you not well up at that? How do you not just think of that moment and how much it meant for the family? Like, it just brought the show to a screeching halt yesterday and got us all in our Fenway feels and reminded us exactly why we sports fan and why we dedicate so much time to something that people just say, "Oh, it's just entertainment." It is, but it matters, people. It really does. That was a great story. Okay, Andy, thumbs up.
So I don't know if I've ever done this before in thumbs up, thumbs down over the years. I'm putting both quarterbacks in the thumbs up category. I thought Drake May got them off to a nice start, obviously with his legs. That touchdown run was fun. The throw to Thornton was fun right up until it hit Thornton in the chest and bounced off. I thought Drake May played very well early on to get the Patriots that early lead. And then, unfortunately, he leaves with the head injury, and Jacoby Brissett came in and did the job, got the job done. The only thing I didn't like from Jacoby Brissett really today was when he was asked post-game about the booty throw under pressure. And did you see that guy bearing down on you and about to kill you? And he said, "No." And I'm like, how'd you not see him? He's on the side you're looking toward. It's not like it was a blindside hit. So other than that, Jacoby Brissett, you had the hammer. You earned the right to have a little snark today with the media. Enjoy it. Enjoy it today. Enjoy it tomorrow when you have your day off while it lasts, because I don't know how long it'll last, but for today, to the victor go the spoils. Marcus Jones punt return. I thought that was arguably the biggest play in this game. I think that might be why you were victorious in the end. That was a bit of a game changer, momentum changer there when they needed it post Drake May. I thought Ramondre Stevenson played really well. The numbers don't really reflect it, but I thought Ramondre Stevenson ran well. He had that catch and run down the sideline that I thought was really interesting, lined up against Sauce Gardner to set up a score. So Ramondre Stevenson makes the list for me. Gonzo with Davante Adams, Tay-Tay Adams duty, Tay-Tay, and he got the job done. Yes, I did. Yes, he got the job done. Gonzo, your number one corner, continues to evolve. Hunter Henry, his production has become really one of the only consistent factors in the passing game for these Patriots, and I love it. I think he's a good dude. I like him.
Oh, he's great. He's great, Andy. He really is. He's actually emerged as not only a keeper going forward since he's on that nice 3-year, $27 million deal. He's playing his best football like 9 years into his career, and he's probably the most dependable target on the offense.
No probably about it. He's the most dependable target on the offense, and he was once again today. That's about all. Gerard Mayo. I'm going to put Gerard Mayo on there because I didn't actually have him on the list I had written down during the game, but Gerard Mayo made it through the rough seas of last week. The comments about soft, the comments about I meant playing soft, the late in the week, the Coach Stacy told me to focus on the Jets, so I'm just focused on the Jets. It was not a great week for Coach Mayo, and he got the victory. And again, to the victor go the spoils. His team kind of played for him today. Now he's getting some of the apologies. I'll be interested if Richard Sherman has any apologies for him, the way J.J. Watt did, or if Bill Belichick has any apologies. No chance of that happening. Just kidding. Just had to say it, but it's not actually going to happen. So Gerard Mayo makes the list. Now the thumbs down.
All right. Thumbs down. Also, does Devon Godshow get a thumbs up mention for saying that Aaron Rodgers is cooked?
I mean, is he Captain
Don't
Obvious?
Don't you ever talk about me!
Captain Obvious. I mean, I said it during the week, and people mocked me. My radio partner, if you want to get the voice ready, mocked me. Christian Arcand told me I was crazy to think that the Patriots had the better quarterback in this game. Even when Drake May left, you could argue the Patriots had the better quarterback. Jacoby Brissett won the game. Aaron Rodgers did not. So Aaron Rodgers is indeed cooked, toast, whatever you want to call it. Marcus Jones at the cornerback position. Differentiation. Mm-hmm. Special teams love him. Cornerback, boy, was he chasing Garrett Wilson all afternoon. Struggled a little bit. Bad matchup for him. I get it. But he did get toasted. The wide receiver position in general. Booty, Thornton, and Bourne all had hellacious drops. So that's why you noticed Booty didn't get his name in the thumbs up because he kind of just balanced out to an average day. You take away all the drops and then balance them out with the good plays he made at the end. The Hawkins dropped interception could have been a key play. That was unfortunate. I know those safeties got game balls, but the ball hit you right in the chest. Just catch it next time. Although, to be fair, if I'm Hawkins, I'm like, hey, it hit Tyquan Thorne in the chest and he didn't catch it, and that's literally his job. My job is not to catch the ball. I'm supposed to keep others from catching the ball. Different job. And slides. And we talked a little bit about earlier, I hate quarterback slides now. I think it puts quarterback in more jeopardy than it does save them from harm, especially the athletic ones that do it late, which they are allowed to do. But I hate it. I think Drake May got hurt today because he slid. I don't, you know, if he runs and takes a hit, or if Drake May dives forward and just picks up the yardage, I don't think he gets hurt. I'm sick of slides. I'm with Jim Mora Jr. Don't slide, athletic quarterbacks. Drake May, don't slide. Find another way. Dive forward. I don't see. Does Lamar Jackson
slide? I'm watching a replay
of it.
Actually, I don't think he does. I wonder if now I want to go like do a tape dive on this.
I don't think Lamar Jackson slides, and he stays healthy.
Yeah. But a lot,
you know why?
He gets hurt, Andy, but he doesn't get hurt. He doesn't take headshots.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, being knocked out of games because you took one in the head. So
this guy, I'm watching a replay of it right now. How did number 44 for the Jets, I mean, he's going into the slide. He commits to the dive, right? He commits to the dive at May just after he goes into the slide.
He can't stop. There's no stopping. I don't actually know what you're supposed to do there as a defender.
It is a tough call. I'm sure a lot of former players would tell you the same. Yeah.
If you dive lower, it's going to be the old-fashioned spearing because you're leading with the crown of your helmet. I don't know if you can do like some sort of weird cross body block thing. It's just an unfair position, like so many for football players on defense. You get porked. It's all about the quarterbacks and the offense.
Oh, Andy. Oh, my gosh. At NY Sports 0117. There it is. We have our first Rodgers jersey burn.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
But then when you burn the jersey, there'll be light. And I thought we had to embrace the darkness.
No, this is pretty. This is a dark. This is emotional darkness. Ah, and Jameis Winston is selling Eat a W T-shirts in Cleveland Browns colors. Ah, what a fun day. This is my favorite. This is my favorite NFL Sunday of the season thus far. It's just so weird. It is just such an odd day. But I've enjoyed it. Quality list. If you guys want to read more from Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down and more, you can always visit WEI.com or tune in to the afternoon show available 2 to 6 each and every day. And tomorrow, Andy will be down at Gillette Stadium with Christian Arkand. And you guys will have which quarterback, we're not quite sure yet, but you'll be there 2 to 6 as part of our Patriots Monday coverage. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, we'll get into the possibility of players being traded away from your Patriots. Who do we think is going to be part of the solution, not the problem going forward? Maybe a quick too-soon preview of the Patriots at Titans game for next weekend, and we'll wrap things up before we throw you to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show, brought to you by McFarland Energy on WEEI.
See what they've done on third down. Here they come. Three blitzer. Brissett somehow gets it out cleanly and completes inside the 10. Booty atoning for what has been a rough outing for him. How did Brissett get it off cleanly in the face of heavy pressure?
Be a part of it.
The Yankees lose. And so did the Jets. And Andy lost bets. We're eating heads of all our pets. What's wrong with us?
Wait, why did Sinatra just turn into Trump?
Sinumtra?
That was weird.
I just told Joe Braverman.
Something that rhymes with Jets. Why not?
I was just working my way. Why did we trade Mookie Betts? Well, the Chargers, I got to say, for taking a hard hit earlier in the game, the Chargers are really starting to put it to the... Is that a second touchdown?
A second for your boy, Ladd.
Are you kidding?
And this is why, as you were just about to say, you have this new adrenaline boost for the last 20 minutes.
I'm just giddy in here for some reason today. I don't know why. I've just got great, goofy, happy, positive game day energy, which I have not felt in quite some time. And it's nice to have it back. That said, whoever that draft pick was that we got from going from 32 to 37 so the Chargers could get Ladd McConkey, if that person doesn't finish their career in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then it's all not worthwhile, because McConkey is a stud. I told you he was going to be a stud, Andy, and the kid is good.
We'll see. He's good. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's good. We'll see if he's a stud.
He's on his way to being a stud right now. 508 texter just a couple minutes ago, catching up on the Odyssey app. Fitzy, Andy, Mego, a winning team. I never missed the Six Rings postgame. That was not from Braverman's burner.
Nobody has burners around here. We're all upstanding.
Except for Kevin Durant.
Well, we can't afford it, actually.
Is it around here? We just have one account.
Around here.
Although I sent out a weird tweet. I mean, I sent out a tweet about the statue.
And it is a creepy statue, man.
It is very creepy, but then one of the responses was creepier. It was like, statue of your girl, Andy, Hillary Clinton. No, Andy, who dat? And I was like, what?
What?
Hillary Clinton? What is that?
Wait,
I thought
place.
I was MAGA heart. And
yeah.
It's like, people confuse me. They think I'm
Can
Hillary
they just pick
Clinton
a lane
guy.
For you?
Like, right. Either label me MAGA heart or label me liberal heart or whatever. There was some guy attacking you. I forgot to tell you this from last postgame show.
Oh, what happened?
There's this dude that loves to DM me on Instagram.
Sure.
Crazy bastard, I found out last week.
Has to be.
I was interacting with him. I was being nice, because you know me. I'm a man of the people. I interact
on
with them.
On the IG?
Yes.
But you have a personal account. At least I have a personal account where I share my own thoughts and photos of my family and whatnot. And then I have my professional account, which is Fitzy GFY, because it's not really a caricature anymore. It's mostly just like a broadcast handle and a nickname. But you have just your one, your primary.
Just the one.
Follow
and he came after me. Some guy, K, who set up his account just to come after me because he's got like no followers and doesn't follow anybody else.
For the
or
love of God, talk about the lowest of the low.
And
put
then,
him on your thumbs down list.
He should be. We were going back and forth about the Patriots and you and I, and we were critical of Belichick, I think, or something, and he was all,
ooh-hoo.
You know. And then he started like, oh, and you and your girl Kamala Harris, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what? We're like, when did this turn political?
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't even know me, mister. Like, you have no idea where I stand politically, because I like to be vague in both directions. Now, right. I do steer into the MAGA heart thing, because it makes
that's
me
just
laugh.
Because you're having fun with it, because you love getting under people's skin with it, which I totally embrace. Just like people always call me, like, oh, bleeding heart Fitzy. Like, sorry, yeah, I have empathy coursing through my veins, and B, again, registered independent people, if you guys need to see the voting card, God.
Why don't you open those borders a little wider, Fitzy?
Yeah. You're part of the reason why Pat's Nation will never be great again. Build a wall. Keep Fitzy out.
I forgot about that, though. The guy was caught. I should have gone back and read some of them. The guy was going after you and I hard. And it was mostly because we owe our entire careers to Bill Belichick, and we should bow down at his altar and never criticize him. He's a god, and he's this whole thing.
Of God.
Yeah, I forgot all about it. I meant to tell you. Clearly didn't see my Instagram today, or you would have been mocking me. Did you see my 5K that I ran this morning?
How'd you do?
Oh, great. Nailed it. But it was a costume 5K, so you're supposed
to wear
a
costume. Oh, you did a Halloween costume 5K. What'd you run as?
The Grinch.
Of course you did. No, Andy, you're supposed to put on a costume.
Do some research on Twitch. Get that up on Twitch.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
I love Halloween costume runs. Yes, absolutely.
It was a fundraiser for the school, and it was a 5K Halloween. You were supposed to dress up, and
yeah, you were supposed to dress up. You didn't.
I went as myself.
What'll I wear? But what'll I wear?
Oh, that's funny. Good for you. That's a great way to start. I love a 5K. Got to be honest.
I did I won my, it was not a huge 5K. I don't even know if they might have had like 100 people run. It was just a small school fundraiser.
Yeah. What was your time? 30 minutes? 25?
No, well below 30. But I was the fastest runner over the age of 40, between 40 and 99 or something.
There you
like
go.
That.
40 and 99, that's a problem.
It was a big category. I was like, wow, if I keep doing this every year, by the time I'm 99, I'm destined to get, like, it's a lock. Everybody else will be dead.
You know, it's a great time to do a 5K? Thanksgiving, the turkey trot. Because what
turkey trot?
Everyone loves a turkey trot. It's a great way to start the day. And because you know you're about to take in somewhere between 4 and 7,000 calories, even though you're only going to burn on a 3.4-mile run, like, I don't know, 400 calories.
Maybe
at most.
That's not even the eggnog.
Right. That's hardly the old-fashioned, the eggnog and the seven helpings of the 19th hole snack mix, or the cashews that are just sitting out there begging you to eat them. It feels good. Turkey trot, great day. Turkey bowl on Saturday with your friends, not usually the same great idea that it used to be, because that is like a meniscus, a kneecap, a hip, or an Achilles just waiting to happen.
Well, because you're old. You're not an athlete like I am. AH 30, my training plan. It's like the TB12 method, but with Miller Lite.
At some point, we are going to get you two in a 40-yard race against a 40-yard dash against each
no
other.
No chance. No chance. I will absolutely tear a hamstring.
On a 40-yard dash,
I can't sprint.
11 yards into it, you'll watch the piano wires of my Achilles. Yep. Boom, boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
That would seriously probably end with both of us injured.
Just writhing on the ground.
Did you see the kid that ran the 4.12 or 4.15?
Oh, yeah, 40? At the halftime
Holy
of the
smokes.
Iowa game.
Yeah.
He smoked the hell out of it. He was flying. I was impressed.
That is something else. Well, maybe the Patriots can get a hold of him. And that's a perfect segue into our roster talk to wrap up this fabulous edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show, which is once again brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVA services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Side note, Andy, my wife broke the seal last night. We turned the heat on.
Oh, not yet. Nope. Staying strong.
You did?
Yep, I have not broken
it yet. You told me it was 59 degrees in your house. Well, see, the in-laws came over, and they get cold quicker, and so she broke the seal. Yeah.
Did she take your testicles as well?
What are you doing?
Andy, 10 minutes
Holy
left.
Holy mackerel, come on, just get us home safely.
Good That's a fair Lord. Question. Whose house is it?
Yeah.
It's my house.
Yeah, it's in my name, I guess, but...
It's her house.
It's 100% her house, please. I didn't pick it. The heat's on finally. But yeah, I was like, hey, listen, just because we just got some oil, don't you get cocky here with I don't want to see it over 68 till we need it.
Crack that up, put a tank top on, put your Jaylen Brown jersey on, watch the seas.
Crank it up, do some curls.
Yeah.
Put on
glistening biceps.
Put on Playing with the Boys from the Top Gun soundtrack. There you go. All right, Andy, so I wanna before we get to the Cars for Kids player of the game and wrap it up today here, I do want to get into little bit of the potential trade talk, you know.
Yeah.
They only just won a game. Trade deadline, of course, 9 days from now. Why the NFL had to try and flex and be inflexible with the whole idea of the damn trade deadline the same day as Election Day, which I think is just absolutely so dumb. So,
yeah,
I mean, no one's going to want to watch Field Yates or Adam Schefter or Rap Sheet or Rich Eisen or anyone, Tom Pelissero or whomever, yip-yapping about something, I hate to say it, as inconsequential as NFL trades when the election of a lifetime possibly is transpiring and the future, you know, the history of America will be rewritten. Come on now. Stupid. So push it off 2 days, Thursday the 7th or the following Tuesday. That's arrogance personified from the NFL if they're just like, oh, well, whatever, we're going to do it because we're the NFL.
We can.
But that said, now looking at the trade deadline with all the possible trade candidates that have been mentioned, the Athletic did a piece a while ago. We saw some of the people they thought could be moved. Do you want to see anyone moved? Who would you potentially move? And what could they possibly get for them? I guess Jonathan Jones just proved his value to you today. Obviously, another team as well, by switching over to safety. If you're trying to teach these guys how to win and you're at a deficit of leadership right now in the locker room, can you afford to trade John Jones?
I don't think you can. We've talked a little bit about the comments from Elliott Wolf about tanking early in the year. Jonathan Jones, I think you need on the field, off the field. Heck, I want to keep talking to him every Monday, especially when he has a good cell phone. That's the best time to talk to him, when he's not in a bad cell range tower, whatever. I don't think you can, but there are guys that are tradable. There are definitely, I think you saw one today that was inactive, a healthy scratch. Now, I don't know if you can get anything for him, but Josh Uche.
He can Uche himself the door. I'm good.
Yeah, he did. But the problem is, doesn't seem like there was. I know he claims he turned down a lot more money elsewhere to return to New England this year on a 1 year deal for like under $3 million, million in salary, whatever. I don't believe you, but if you could get anything for him, I'll take a seventh round pick, conditional seventh round pick.
Wouldn't
whatever.
Detroit be a perfect place considering that they wouldn't they want to maybe take a flyer on a pass rusher just because they lost
maybe.
Hutchinson?
Yeah. I mean, different, you know, more of a stand up outside linebacker pass rusher type than a D end Aiden Hutchinson type. But maybe a team like that, I don't know, the other rosters or depth charts. He's a borderline player. He really, that double-digit sack season a couple of years ago looks further and further away at this point. But, yeah, if you get something for him, the wide receiver position is interesting. There's bodies there. There's names there. There's ideas there. But I don't know. Do you really want to give up on Kendrick Bourne? I wouldn't trade Kendrick Bourne. And anybody not named Kendrick Bourne, I'd want to keep Douglas. I don't want to trade him. No one's going to trade anything for Tyquan Thornton. No one's going to trade anything for Javon Baker in all likelihood. So I don't know that there's many guys that make any sense there. Certainly not trading Hunter Henry as you go down like lists of veteran
Lord,
guys
no.
that make. So I think Uche is the best, most likely option to be traded, I would think, at this point.
I really don't see many other candidates now. No, I don't want to trade Bourne Pauley. I don't want to trade John Jones, mostly just for the leadership factor, not to mention his positional versatility. You're not going to get anything for any of the other. Nobody wants Tyquan Thornton. Get out of here.
Nope.
Even Mahomes would be like, I'm all right. That's fine. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, because he's just going to get annoyed. He'll do what Drake May did, roll around, throw deep, hit him in the chest, and watch it fall to the freaking turf.
You don't have enough defensive linemen to start without having to sign guys. Linebacker is obviously at a premium as well. Yeah.
I can't really think of a lot of options. KJ Osborne, just as a veteran.
There you go. You know what?
Maybe.
You know what? Open up more opportunities for some of the other receivers. I'm fine with that. He doesn't want to be here either.
That's like a seventh round pick. I can't imagine anybody giving.
Wouldn't you
up
take
anything.
One extra though, just because?
Oh, absolutely. No, I would put him in the Uche and KJ Osborne. If anybody offered me anything. Now, there's not a lot of like funny things you can offer. There's no cash considerations or a player to be named later in football. So it would be a conditional draft pick. If anybody offered me anything, I would absolutely trade either of those guys immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I would say KJ Osborne and Uche, whatever.
Uche, be respectful.
I'm sorry.
He asked you very recently to say it a certain way, so say it.
I don't Uche. Care if you can say it one way.
He was a healthy scratch today, so a deal could be coming soon.
Healthy scratch. Oh, you're right, Joe. Very good. I didn't remember him rolling up in the injury report like the late
Oh, no,
Kyle
it was healthy. That
injury.
Was widely reported pregame Oof. That there has been some talks about his name out there, which, I find interesting. I don't know the specific teams where it would necessarily make sense. He hasn't done much.
San Francisco? Well, actually,
sure.
They need receivers.
I mean, he could be a guy that goes somewhere like that, where maybe there's more talent, and he fits in into a
All
very
of a sudden, four
specific,
sacks the rest of the season. You're like, oh, where's this guy been?
Well, now he's on a better defense, or, you know, some guy's getting doubled opposite him, and he can go back to the life he led with Matthew Judon and just kind of ride some coattails to success. Mm-hmm. I won't necessarily be complaining.
Send him to Atlanta, then.
With Matthew Judon?
Sure.
So he can ride his coattails
again? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I just...
Judy got the best out of him, so maybe they could... I mean, they gave up 26 points today to a Buccaneers team without Godwin and Evans, so maybe they could use extra little extra QB pressure.
Yeah, I think they probably could. But don't expect anything big, in my opinion. I also don't rule out them trading for somebody if the right opportunity presented itself.
We're not going down
this,
the Cooper Kupp road, are we?
I would trade for a Cooper Kupp in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
The third round pick you got for Matthew Judon, I would
spin
send
it
to
for
Rams.
Kupp. If someone told me you spun Judon for Kupp, oof! But the zero chance the Rams move on from him because now they're a game out of first place and their offense looked legit again the other night. And Nacua and Kupp with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum and a healthy Matthew Stafford is a legitimate offense with a coach like McVay. Heck yeah! No, I think they're going for it.
Oh, I do too. I think it'd be crazy for them to trade him, but. You know, the rumors are the rumors, so whatever. You never know what they're looking to do or accomplish. And you have, obviously, the cap space to acquire a big contract like his or anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Bengals lost today, right? They're 3-5.
They sure did.
What are they, 3-5?
Do you want to get something? Now.
T. Higgins, go get him.
See, like T. Higgins, this could be like a Montez Sweat type of thing. Like last year, the Bears gave up a second-round pick for Montez Sweat, and people are like, what the hell are they doing? They sign him. He becomes a pivotal part of their defense. Maybe the Patriots contact the Bengals and say, guys, do you really think you're making a playoff push? Probably not. You're going to lose T. Higgins next year. How about something for him? A little something for the effort.
Now, the one thing I wasn't considering that Adam Schefter brought up with us on the afternoon program this week on Wednesday is weekly hit. Because he's on the franchise tag, you couldn't extend him during the season because that date has already passed. Even though it passed for the Bengals in Cincinnati, it still factors into his
got to get some
future.
Sort of guarantee, you know.
And you can't. There's none. You
can't do anything
any
with the agent? A little something, something on the...
Oh, if you want to do something like that behind closed doors, a wink, a nod, and $100 million, I mean.
Well, that's one of my favorites. Hey, Andy, real quick, let's grab one more call before we wrap things up. Jay is in Rhode Island. Hey, Jay, what's up? You're the last caller on the Six Rings postgame show.
Hey, good evening, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Love the Pats. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to just circle back a little bit about being a fan and the juxtaposition we are in right now with, hey, loving a win for the day. God, it feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, does it also hurt? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer in any way. Love the fact that we won. It feels good. We're going to have a good week. Everybody's going to be pumped. Beat the Jets. Beat Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Right? But at the same time, we don't want to be, like, also pissing away a draft pick at some point. Like, what do we do? Like, how do we feel about this? How do you guys, like, navigate this whole thing? Like, as far as fans go, what do we want to do, right? We want to win. We love winning. But at the same time, is it really getting us anywhere?
I'd say, Jay, you asked, I think, the question of the day, sir. I'm glad you were the last call, and thank you very much. Andy, that is the debate that is up for this week. That may be the topic du jour tomorrow on your show, perhaps on Six Rings this week as well. Can you celebrate the win and appreciate the day while knowing that, you know, it may have picked away a little bit at your future?
Yeah, costly win in multiple ways. First of all, the obvious costly, Drake May gets hurt. How long is he hurt for? The head issue. And then it lowers your chances at the top pick in the draft or a higher pick in the draft. It's why I told you I had somewhat mixed feelings about it. The players should not have mixed feelings. The guys in that locker room should not have mixed feelings because they're trying to win. They're trying to accomplish the here and the now and then let everything else fall into place. But as Jacoby Brissett said, it's hard to win in the NFL. And that's why I want more better players, and more better players come with higher draft picks. I want pick 1, and then pick 33, and then pick 65, and then pick, I don't know, I'm going to stop with the 32-team math and just say I want the first pick in every round.
Yep.
And trade options. There's just so much more you can do the higher you pick. It's just the reality. And then the trades in terms of adding assets, it's the whole thing. So mixed emotions, but if you want to enjoy this win, if you're that type of mentality, then damn it, enjoy this win.
Indeed you should. And now we wrap up with the Cars for Kids player of the game. Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at Cars for Kids. That's cars with a K.com. I'm giving it to Jacoby Brissett. Off the bench, 1-4 is the starter earlier this season. Minimal to no expectations. Comes in, leads the game-winning drive, moves the best we've seen him, throws the best we've seen him do. And you know what? He took pride in it afterwards as well. Good for him. Thank you very much, Jacoby Brissett, for giving us a little joy here in Pats Nation today. He's at Jumbo Heart. Good job today, as always, Andy. Joe Braverman, magnificent job behind the glass producing the Six Rings postgame show. Our thanks to Megan Onalini for joining us as well, and you for tuning in to the best postgame show in town, the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show here on WEEI. I'm your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens signing off. Congratulations, everyone. The Jets lost and the Patriots won at the same time. That makes for one heck of a Sunday in Boston sports. Patriots Monday tomorrow here on EEI. Don't miss it. See ya.
See ya. Move it to the exits.